Welcome to the Shock and Ship. It is Thanksgiving week, DJ. Good call Saturday in Athens as Georgia took care of Mississippi State. And JT Daniels made his debut in those black uniforms, man. A lot to break down. Offensively fun, defensively kind of stressful.
Yeah. I guess first off, if you're a Georgia fan, as we all are, you were pleasantly excited and surprised. I think it was obviously the buildup, and it kind of got out that JT was going to be the guy, but I don't think nobody expected JT to go out and go for four bills in the ball game, and you rush for 8 yards. So I don't think anybody expected that to happen. But I kind of expected Mississippi State to play a little bit better on the offensive side because of what Coach Leak told us before we was getting ready for the game. He said the last two or three ball games, they struggled on first and second down. That's why they were really bad on third down. So you knew coming to the game, they had an emphasis on first down. And you look back at the ball game, they were in second and four. They was third and three, majority of this ball game because they were just getting that ball out their hand on first down. And it was different for Georgia. I remember Coach Lanning told us, and Kirby said, preparing this week was like preparing for Georgia Tech. So they said, wow, we had never seen anything like this. It's so different from everything. And Coach Lanning said they were calling calls in that game that they had not even worked on in camp or leading up to this game. Like, everything was totally new. So it was like a totally new call for all the guys on defense. So interesting game, man. It was a good game to call because it was tight and close. I know Georgia fans didn't like it to be that close, but a fun game, man. And good to see JT get going and look good and play well. And, you know, hey, Burton, balling, freshman, 197. Good to see Pickens back in there.
Yep.
So it was fun, man. It was a good game.
Yeah, we'll touch on Burton in a moment. I think he's in the shadow, probably in the biggest shadow that a freshman of the week may have been in, at least with Georgia fans anyway. But I do want to bring up JT Daniels with four passing touchdowns, came up on the broadcast. Your partner Dave Neal brought it up. But Daniels, the first quarterback with at least four passing touchdowns in his Georgia starting debut since you 15 years ago against Boise State. So some pretty great company right there, DJ. I'm just curious, you know, when you have a game like that, and you'd played before, obviously. It's not totally the same situation here, but when you're the guy, you're starting the show, and you go out there and you ball out like JT did, what is that feeling like?
It's like a satisfaction because – from where I was coming from, being the backup for so many years, and then coming into that role where Greeny had just been Mr. Everything for the last 3-4 years, and everybody's like, okay, well, George's going to have a drop-off. And to have that moment happen in your first start, it kind of just gives everybody the confidence level that, hey, this guy can get it done. And then for JT, it's a similar thing. This dude had a, you know, pretty good freshman season, gets hurt. And then they come to Georgia and there's all this expectation and people are still wondering about this offense. People are wondering, well, JT, can he get it done? And we go out and throw for four bills and four touchdowns and lead his team to a win and play the way he did. I mean, it's satisfying, man. It's satisfying for fans, but it's also satisfying for the player that you was able to go out and do that. So I know he was happy about it. I know he was excited. I talked to him on a little DM after the ball game the next day, and he was excited about it and really, you know, he was like, it was a surreal moment to have that opportunity.
I know Georgia fans are wondering, you know, why did it take so long? But I think, you know, Kirby addressed it after the game and just something wasn't 100% ready to go. But you see what JT Daniels looks like when he is close to 100% ready to go, if he wasn't already. And by the way, getting George Pickens back, I mean, let's not overlook, I'm not trying to take any shine off of Burton, but with Pickens being back in the game, that had to help, right?
Yeah, and before I say anything else about Pickens, I'd be remiss to not give my guy Mike Bilbo and his crew a big kudos, a big, you know, big round of applause, because his crew did an awesome job, man. We actually probably had one of our best games as far as being able to view the game. And for people who don't know, Obviously, we called the game from our home, so Mike and his crew had to make sure we had all the different looks, all the camera angles, all the different stuff that we needed to call the game. So, Mike, appreciate you guys, man. It was a I thought it was a job well done. I know we talked about it on the call, but wanted to give you guys your kudos here live in Living Color.
Well done. Well done, Mike.
Thanks, guys. We had that. There were a lot of guys. I didn't do anything, but there were a lot of folks that I work with that work really, really hard. And shout out to Rick Freeman, our engineer. He busted his hump and got us on the air, and a lot of other people did a great job. I didn't do anything. I sat and I had a cookie. sat in the control room and ate a cookie. That was my
either way, man. It was great, man. It was great. Yeah, we've been in a couple different control rooms over this season, and things haven't gone to par. So to have not a glitch, not to have an issue throughout the ball game was reassuring and really good for us, because we've had some trying times and big prime time game, and yeah, obviously you don't want to miss anything. So we were pretty happy and excited in the ball game. We have any issues?
Flexibility, the key this year, right? I mean, with the game,
not as happy scheduling. As I was, DJ.
I hear you. But Wes, back to you about having Pickens back, man. Huge deal. I was excited when Kirby mentioned he would be back. Obviously, thought he'd be back a few weeks ago, but you can see getting him involved in the game plan early is key. As most diva receivers, and he probably won't call himself a diva, but the number one receivers that I play with, they want the ball early. They want it often. They want to be involved in the game plan. And I'm sure Pickens is no different. And I think they got him like two or three catches in the first couple of series. They got him going. So having him back is a huge, huge big deal for that offense, and takes a lot of pressure off those other dudes for making plays.
Am I oversimplifying it by just kind of feeling like it's correlated that when he comes back, though, the passing lanes open up for other guys too? I mean, Burton coming on the scene like he did, we've seen the speed. Yeah. We know he's fast. But for him to make the mark that he did, it feels like it's almost like that Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley effect with the Falcons, where you can't cover everybody.
Think about how many times dudes were one-on-one. Burton had one-on-one probably every time he caught the football. And some of that is the coverage they play, but also is because George is on the field. Sometimes they doubled him. Sometimes they rolled coverage to him. And other times it was, hey, you got to go beat your man one-on-one. Kiarius had a one-on-one down the middle for a touchdown on 3rd and 20, the game-winning touchdown there, which was a big play. JT and the boys caught Mississippi State off sides one time and took advantage of it, threw it to Burton down the middle of the field, caught him down the seam a couple of times. So they had opportunities that they've had in other ball games, but finally hit them in this ball game.
That's what I was going to say.
That's it.
That's what I was going to say, DJ, is like we had guys wide open in Florida secondary all night long. Yeah. Just couldn't hit them. Yeah. We hit them in this game. We hit them. Yeah. We hit them multiple times in this game. And you saw how it changed the complexion of the game. Now, Mississippi State's not Florida, but that's a completely different game if you hit a couple of those big shots that you took.
No doubt. And that's probably the end-all, be-all is when you have those opportunities in games like that, you got to have it. I mean, just think about it, if you didn't have those shots in this game. I mean, you could have been down in this game a couple touchdowns, because if you don't hit those big plays, you're in trouble. So those opportunities come far in between, and you got to hit them when they're there.
I think as we put a bow on this one, move on to South Carolina this week. You know, a lot of Georgia fans a little twitchy when you factor in the fact that Mississippi State traveled with what, like less than 50 scholarship players,
49 scholarship dudes. Yeah.
So when you think about the game they were still able to bring to Georgia, I think, you know, if you're going to look at that number, it is kind of jarring. But not a lot of those guys that didn't make the trip were heavy competitors. So I don't know. I don't want to take anything away from the effort that Mississippi State had, because that was crazy to see them do that. A lot of teams I don't think would have even thought about making the trip. But if for you, DJ, do you feel like that's an accurate statement that Georgia fans maybe should calm down a little bit, or do you come out of this game thinking that there are still some question marks?
No, I think you need to be excited. I think you need to have some kind of I know everybody expects and has big expectations for this team and for this program, as you should. And when you have an offensive performance like that, it should be celebrated. And then also you got to look at it on the other side. Even though they had 49 scholarship dudes, these are coaches that's been around for a long time. These dudes know how to coach football. They know how to get their guys ready to go. And the plan for Mississippi State was really good. On defense, it was, what does Georgia do well? They run the football. They got a really good front seven. They stopped Georgia running the football and said, hey, you haven't really beat anybody throwing the football yet. We don't know what JT Daniels could do. We know he's good. We've heard about him. But let's force him to beat us throwing the football. And that's what happened. And on the offensive side of the ball, it was dink and dunk. They finally found a way to throw versus this rush three and drop eight coverage. They had a good plan coming in. So I think Georgia fans should celebrate what happened, because offensively, you haven't done that in a while. And defensively, sometimes the other team's going to win. They're going to draw up a game plan that's going to be steady Eddie. You think about that first half, they controlled the ball a lot. They, you know, they went up and down the field.
You know, it's funny. You were talking about Lanning saying that it was like preparing for Georgia Tech. And the whole first half, I was thinking that how much, even though they were throwing the ball, they weren't running it, it reminded me of a triple option offense, because they were on schedule the whole time. 2 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards, 2 yards. They weren't gashing you. They weren't hitting. I think they had the one long pass down the far sideline. But you know, I think the way Georgia was playing, and you know, and I'm not a coach, but it's very much, we're going to drop it, we're going to keep it in front of you, and we're going to make you grind out. We're going to make you grind out an 80-yard drive, and we don't think you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, kid was on. Their quarterback was on. He was putting the ball right on kids. They were making the catches. You know, and sometimes. Sometimes you get a guy that's good, and there's not much a defense can do.
Yeah, and this is a guy that Leach recruited to come to Washington State with him, so he knows him really well. Came from the same school as Minshew, so he knows the caliber of player he was. And then the play you talk about, what he hit down the sideline, that was one of the many times they called Georgia in man coverage. And that's what Mississippi State wants. They get you in man coverage, it's going to be like LSU. So that was the one time they called Georgia in man coverage, and they were able to beat you on that long touchdown pass. But other than that, it's exactly what you said, Mike.
That's why you wanted to keep everyone in front. Yeah.
And for the longest, they still had tried to throw the football down the field versus that drop eight coverage. And then before they know it, it's 3rd and 10. So then 3rd and 10, you drop it down, you tackle them for a 6-7 yard gain and punt the ball.
I know it's an air raid, but it really more reminded me of the West Coast offense.
Yep, that's exactly what they did.
You pass to set up the run versus the other way around.
Take what they give you. And to give that little young QB a lot of credit, man, he did it. He was patient.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would be able to do it. And to be honest, I asked Coach Landon Kirby this. I said, how patient can you be? Because your DNA is not made to play rush three, drop eight. You want to play press man coverage. You want to come after the quarterback. How patient can you guys be in this ball game? And they both shook their head at me like, yeah, it's going to be a chore. It's going to be, I got to keep telling myself to be patient, because it's totally different.
But then a sack ends the game.
That's what I was just going to say. But did you notice that when they really had to get somebody home and get to the quarterback, they were able to do it with the game on the line?
No doubt. Big time play. OZ's coming off the edge right there. And then in that particular play, they only rushed four. So if you can get home with three or four guys, you don't need a blitz. And they did it on that play. So big kudos to that defense, man. It came up when they needed to. Was a tough ball game throughout, and then the ball game got it down when you needed to.
All right. Smart Bobo Bowl. And I saw a photo this week of Coach Bobo, your former OC, DJ, from 2005. Yeah. And who was the running backs coach?
Kirby Smart, and you were in the same photo.
So we've had some good guests on here in the weeks prior. Ray Fulcher, who spoke about his relationship with Coach Bobo, which was interesting and unique to say the least. We've had Stinchcomb on here, and he knows both of these guys pretty well. So if you want to go back and listen to some of those episodes, get a good picture painted of what this rivalry means to these two guys. It's pretty special. And DJ, you've seen it firsthand as well. I mean, these guys know each other, they're friends, but I don't imagine there's going to be any love lost on Saturday as Coach Bobo steps up and gets the call against Kirby.
Coach Bobo would love to to come and get a win versus Georgia and Kirby. You're talking about bragging rights. You're talking about these two right here. Would it would be unbelievable to see a text mix chain or hear these guys talk before a ball game, but then after one of them beats one each other? Come on now. These dudes are the most competitive dudes I've ever been around. And this game, regardless of the records, both these guys want this, and they want it bad. And I know Coach Bobo is in a tough spot over there at South Carolina with, you know, Coach Muschamp being gone, but he's got his former school, and he's got one of his former teammates, one of his good buddies, and they get to go at it on Saturday night in prime time. It's gonna be a fun game, man. I know Bobo's gonna pull out all the tricks. He's been saving up a couple plays just for this game. So expect some trickery to happen throughout this game for sure to try to get a couple cheap ones versus Georgia.
Forget Columbia and how crazy things can get there for Georgia. This rivalry specifically, I mean, last season, never easy. Look no further than last season to see how much the Gamecocks can trip Georgia up when you think that they might not be able to.
Yeah, but hey, South Carolina's got a lot of dudes out too. They got like 3-4 dudes in the secondary that opted out. I feel you. It's one of them games, though. I remember we played South Carolina the whole time I was there. It was always a gruel of a game. Them dudes always played hard. They always got after you. And I don't think that's changed over the years.
When's the last time we played South Carolina when it wasn't a billion damn degrees either?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, super hot. Yeah.
It's been a weird – honestly, it's been a weird couple trips there over the last several years because when was it, 2016, when they played on a Sunday?
Was that the Hurricane game? The Hurricane game, yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird – just some weird vibes around this one. But yeah, I mean, it's like any SEC opponent that Georgia faces – you got guys that are from Georgia. I mean, you can't keep every single guy here. So it just kind of ratchets things up a little bit.
Wes, what do you think, man? What do you think about the rivalry? What do you think about the matchup?
Well, I'm to Mike's point, when I think of Columbia, I think about heat. I think about just misery. And really that stadium is just – it seems like you're going to go in there and not have a good time, even if you're the better team, just because it's in the middle of a parking lot. There's really nothing going on outside.
That damn chicken. They play that recorded chicken.
It's so loud. The chicken.
It's so loud, too.
It's one of a kind, but it's a different kind of atmosphere than a lot of SEC schools. I mean, I feel like Georgia should be okay. But I felt that way Saturday and it ended up being interesting.
We were okay.
It's just it wasn't as okay as you wanted.
Yeah. No doubt.
No, it's all good though. It's just like we've touched on, man, it's 2020. These games are going to be different. They're going to feel different. They're going to feel weird. And this rivalry always feels weird, but I'm excited to see.
Hold on, one question before we go. Things being weird, are you guys fan of turkey on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah. It just depends how you cook it, right?
You like it fried or you like it?
Fried is great. Smoked.
I love it fried. I'm doing smoked this year.
Send me the recipe.
What about you?
I love turkey. I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Yeah. I just heard some stuff today on TV. People were talking about, they say they didn't like turkey. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing ever. So I wanted to make sure it wasn't on the same lines of this candy corn nonsense.
The candy corn debate.
We've been down that road. I'm not going there. I think this is 100% pro turkey.
I'm just making sure.
All right. Coming up next, AJ Styles, Super Dog. And he's got a lot to talk about with The Undertaker. He's got a big match coming up. You won't want to miss this one. More Shock and Ship with AJ Styles on the way. Welcome back into Shock and Ship, WWE superstar AJ Styles on the show with us. And AJ comes from Gainesville, Georgia. Huge Dogs fan, and we appreciate his time tonight. AJ, crazy week for you. Crazy match coming up. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Listen, it was an entertaining week for me. It started on Saturday, of course, with the Georgia game. Then I got my pay-per-view Sunday with Survivor Series, then Monday Night Raw. So it was a good weekend.
Man, that's a pretty busy weekend, man. First off, we're talking about the dogs. We don't hear about the dogs. We got to ask you about your love for the dogs. How long have you been a fan of these damn dogs?
Let me put it this way. If you had on another shirt, you know, like let's say an Alabama or other kind of team, it doesn't matter, NCAA, you didn't come in my house. That was my dad's rule. You know. My little brother almost got named Herschel. It was very close. Yeah, we were huge fans, and that's just the way it is. And I've brought my kids up in the same loving way, So yeah, big dogs fan. I always have been.
AJ, the Undertaker making his kind of farewell tour here in 2020. And that's a huge storyline everyone's been glued to. And you had a pretty memorable moment with him. And he's paid you a pretty big compliment as the modern day Shawn Michaels. And I'm just curious, when you think about that compliment, you think about your moment and his kind of swan song, what does it mean for your career and what does it mean to you to be a part of that?
Well, just to have the opportunity to, perform with The Undertaker, do what we do, entertain with him, was a blessing. It was something that I never thought I'd get the opportunity to do. And I made sure that he knew how much I appreciated that. At Survivor Series, I wanted him to know, like, man, I know it might not mean that much to you. Maybe it didn't. But for me, it was everything. I was so jealous of so many guys who had the opportunity. And I just never thought, first of all, I never thought I'd be in the WWE. And second, and just assumed I'd never get the opportunity to wrestle The Undertaker. For him to compare me to Shawn Michaels is, I don't know, man. Shawn was just before his time. He would have gelled well anywhere, anytime, any place, any era. He was just amazing. And I go back and I watch some of his matches and I'm just like, wow, this guy's so good. The little things that he does makes everything so great. In fact, one of my pitches to get The Undertaker to wrestle me was like, hey, you do really, really well against smaller guys like Shawn Michaels, because I think that's, for me, it's one of his best matches.
That's pretty cool. Hey, AJ, man, I want to ask you about, obviously, you talked about getting to this point. You thought you'd never be in the WWE, but here you are as one of the biggest stars around. When did you realize that, hey, this is something that I could do, something that I could do to entertain millions of people and you would have a freaking fan base? I mean, how does that feel? And when did you get started knowing that, hey, I could be that dude?
Well, I got to tell you, it's, you guys know, I mean, like in front of thousands and thousands of people, my first WrestleMania was in front of over 100,000 people. I mean, it's ridiculous just to see a people and you don't get over something like that.
Yeah.
But when I went to train and I took that first fall, that first bump, as we call it, I knew immediately, like, I'm going to do this for a living. I'm going to make money doing this. Like, you couldn't have told me any different. I had to go back and growing up, I was poor. It's just the way it is. So I didn't get to go to wrestling matches. I didn't get to see it. But every once in a while, when the antenna, right, when you turned it the right way, would pick up some wrestling on Saturdays, I enjoyed it. And so I had to go back and watch all these videos and these tapes and research and know all these wrestlers. I wanted to know everything about it. So it was just one of those things. It was a mindset that you couldn't tell me any different. There was plenty of times my girlfriend, who is now my wife, she was so angry with me because every weekend I'm, wrestling on the weekends, trying to get better. And, she's not going out on dates with her boyfriend. She's going to stupid wrestling matches and old school gyms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're a two-time state championship in high school, weren't you? Going back, way back.
To your
Johnson High School days. And I'm always curious about that transition, right? I had a lot of friends that wrestled at Collins Hill High School, which is huge in the state. And, obviously they grow up being obsessed with professional wrestling, but it's not the same. I mean, you take this sport and then you apply it to the professional career, you've got to kind of reinvent yourself a little bit. So how do you come up with the things that make you now compared to the high school wrestler you were at Johnson High School?
Well, really, you can take everything that you learned in high school and college and go, okay, we can't use that right now. You might just forget about it because that's not how it's going to work, because somebody's going to lead you when you first start. So that means you can't be all tight and aggressive and ready to hurt somebody. You can't do that. It's not the way it works. So it had to relearn how not to be so aggressive in a sport that comes across as opposed, you know, as a aggressive sport, right? Like pro wrestling is supposed to be that gritty, you know, sport. And you're supposed to come across like that, but you don't want to actually be like that. So I had to, everything I learned from wrestling was thrown out the door. I didn't know how moves were supposed to work though. Some of those moves that happened in the ring are also done on the wrestling mat too. So I did know that part, but it wasn't that got me to my first match so quickly, because I got in there way too quick. I was able to do all this, the dang flips and stuff that got me in the wrestling quicker than I probably should have been.
AJ, let me ask you about your mindset, bro. As a former player, people always ask me, like, how do you get into the mood when, you know, it's about time to go on the field or it's about time to play? You get this excitement, you get the build up, and, you know, your minutes before you go out. What do you do to get ready for a match? I mean, where does your mind go where, okay, soon the lights come on, you know you got to go entertain people. What's the mindset? How do you go into that moment where, okay, here comes the crowd opens up and then boom, here you go. What is that mindset like, and what's going on in the brain of AJ Styles when that's going on?
Well, I'm going to probably disappoint you guys. As I've gotten older, it's literally when I push the curtain back, it's just this flip of a switch and it's on. Boom, everything's going. You know, don't get me wrong, there's matches beforehand. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be great. I'm excited about showing this off. This is going to be really good. This is going to be really entertaining. You know, in my earlier days, man, I was just a nervous wreck, right? But, you know, now I've done thousands of matches and it's just turning that switch. And I don't know if everybody gets like that, you know, but it's just gotten to where that is. And now I'm excited about, like I said, showing off for what I think is going to be a great match. But I can flip it on and off so quick now. It's pretty unreal.
Hey, Jay, you were real quick. You obviously have a wrestling background and were a wrestler in high school. Was it ever? Did you ever play football? Did you ever play basketball? Yeah. I mean, obviously you're an incredible athlete, but did you experience other stuff before you got into wrestling? So 24/7.
So when I was in elementary school, we had baseball and basketball. So of course I played those. We didn't have football. As much as I loved it, we didn't have it. My elementary school didn't. So when I got into middle school, I still played basketball. And as I got into high school, it turned in, you know, I finally got to play football. And I ate it up, man. I loved it. It was everything I thought it was going to be. I just love it. But my dad loved watching me play football. But then my defense coordinator is like, hey, man, why don't you come out for wrestling? I'm like, okay. You know, and the hardest thing I've ever done was collegiate wrestling. It's no joke. It's not for the weak of heart, man. It's the toughest thing I've ever done because, you know, when you get in there – not knowing what to expect. And I was in there for a week and I went to coach and I was like, dude, I can't do this. He goes, give me one more week. And if you still want to quit, then that's fine. Well, 4 years later, I graduated, you know, wrestled all 4 years, you know, and I, you know, I mean, I got whooped. My tail got whooped my freshman year because it was the first time I was wrestling. My sophomore year, that guy that beat me in my first match, I literally tried to kill him. Like I was a different man, you know, it was all about experience, you know, and I literally got thrown out of that match because I was calling him every name in the book. You know, it's crazy. Football and wrestling, and I tried track for a year. Not by the time I got the track, I was exhausted. I needed some time off. So I took that off, but football and wrestling was my thing in high school for sure.
Who was your favorite Georgia player growing up? I know you grew up locally and had some time to grow up watching the Dogs as a football player. Who did you feel like when you played football, I want to go out and be like this guy?
well, of course, everybody wants to be like Herschel, but nobody can be like Herschel, right? For me, it wasn't about like being like Herschel. It was just like playing like him with that heart. You know what I'm saying? That never give up attitude. And like, there's always a chance. I always have hope. We could be losing 30-0. And then trust me, it's been like that before. I'd still like, we still got time, guys. It's got a minute left. There's no time, you know, but I just love that. You know, I love that red, black man. And I don't care. I even, my son went to Gainesville High School here, cause I live in Hall County. Man, I saw him with that G on that helmet, man. I loved it. I just love seeing it. Of course, we don't go to that school anymore, but we moved on. But man, I just love about that power G, man. There's just something about it, you know?
Hey, you're talking about the Dogs. You say you watched the game this past weekend. Frankly, the guy they had calling the game, I have no idea where they got that dude from. So
I had to mute the game.
I'm sure you probably looked at it like, this guy here is terrible calling this game. What did you think of JT Daniels getting his first time out there and obviously put up some big points, but what have you thought about this season so far up to this point?
Well, I knew we were in a pickle when we didn't get the quarterback that we wanted. You know, he opted out this year, which is, I guess, understandable for some people. I can't blame him. You know, we're Scott's going to be looking at him. Who knows what was going to happen. But I love football, so I don't care what's happening, what's going on, I want to watch it. I want to play it. You know, if I have the energy, I would do it to this very day. But like, man, the quarterback situation, you know, sometimes you don't realize like it starts and stops with the quarterback, you know, plays change and they got to be able to look at a defense and go, freak, let's not run that when they change the play on the fly. Like, you know, we thought we had the right quarterback, in the first game, turns out we didn't. Then Bennett came in and we're like, oh, whoa, holy cow, all right. And then it is what it is. This guy's my size, you know, which is, I love that about this kid, you know, that he's getting out there and getting after it at his size. Shoot, I might be a little heavier than he is, you know, but still, you know, he's at the D1 level doing his thing, doing his best. But JT, I mean, he looked good. Man, the way he was moving in the pocket, like nothing was going to bother him. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. I thought he did great. But I mean, I say that, but we also seen, you know, Bennett do well too. So I want to see what happens the next couple of games before I go, okay, who's the best of the three? You know, it's going to change.
AJ, I try to tell you guys all the time, QBs are like the smartest dudes around, man. I don't know why these guys don't listen to me about it, but hey. So,
DJ, I believe you, dude. I believe you.
I don't know.
Personally, I'm not so sure.
That's why you get lucky every now and then.
That's why I never went out for quarterback, okay?
All right, AJ, Thanksgiving coming up. I want to ask.
Did I call him JT and T? What did I call it?
Well, no, you call him JT.
Making sure, because I'll be honest with you guys. Since being with WWE, man, it's...
Well, you got AJ, TJ, DJ. Like, you got all the abbreviated names on this show right now.
But, like, dude, I am... You're swamped in this atmosphere of WWE, man. You're going. And then if that's not going, I'm trying to watch my kids play, too.
Right. Yeah.
So I would love to tell you how updated I am. But this year, I've really got a chance to dive into our players and our team and see what's going on more than I have in probably 4 years.
Yeah, the scheduling is really different, and it works out for things like that. And you've got the triple threat match that you've punched your ticket to.
That's right.
So you've got some time in between these things, but you've got to, as Kirby Smart would say, keep the main thing, right? So when you talk about all these things going on, Georgia football, your matches, being a family man, being a dad, and now you got Thanksgiving. What does Thanksgiving look like for you? And what is your perfect plate on Thursday?
Oh, well, man, I'm excited about Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, when you get my age, boys, you know, you have to start cutting things. And one of them for me is I gotta start cutting these carbs down. And you think it's easy, but then you realize carbs are in everything. You're like,
yep.
So,
AJ, you don't give yourself a cheat day at all?
I can't afford it, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanksgiving, though.
Dude.
I'm making sure that the Google answer brings me the right thing.
AJ. The guy has no cheat days.
Hey, the problem is I was getting a little COVID chubby, and I seen it, and I was like, I gotta fix that, and I can't be looking like that with my shirt off. So I was like, okay, I gotta get more disciplined. That's it, you know. But Thanksgiving is looking great. Everybody's coming over to the house. We're gonna do our thing. I'm making sure that the aunts make sure they have their plates that they bring every year. You know, my chicken casserole and my sweet potato casserole. I make sure that those are both gonna be there. My mother-in-law makes the best stuffing, so we're gonna have a pile of that. Turkey, of course, and that honey baked ham. Oh man, I'm getting excited talking about it. I haven't had bread in so long. Man, I'm gonna tear up some biscuits. I'm telling you,
it's a treat, right?
I'm sure nobody's going to battle you or wrestle you over a plate. So I think you may be good getting some food out these guys.
Yeah, what you want?
I want to know. I got two questions for you. First one is, what is the best thing that's happened in your career? Obviously, I know there's a bunch of things that you can talk about that's happened over your time. Best thing happened in your career. And because the sport is so physical, and you see you guys jumping off all kind of stuff, flipping all over the place, landing on each other, how do you feel the day after?
So, well, let me answer that question first. The day after, when I was 25, man, it didn't faze me. I was rocking and rolling the next day, no problem. Now, at 43, I'm worried. Like, okay, I wonder how I'm going to feel, because that was some pretty tough bumps in there. You know, it was a good match, man. I'm going to pay for it tomorrow. So right. I'm always kind of thinking, how bad is it going to be? And you know, here lately, I've been fine, but stuff that wouldn't hurt me a couple years ago, now I was like, oh man, when did that table become so hard? You know,
when did the table?
What are they putting in these tables now?
Man, I didn't remember them hurting in that, you know, that bad. So, yeah. But what was the first question? Because your second question was like, man, yeah,
best moment of your career.
Oh, best moment of the career, man. That's so tough, because you know you guys are, you know, I'm sure you, DJ, like you set goals for yourself in football, and like I set goals for myself in pro wrestling, you know, where it's accomplishing this, being on the cover of a video game, being the main guy on the poster, being in front of 50,000 people, being in front of 100,000 people, being in the ring with The Undertaker or even John Cena, guys like that who help make AJ Styles who he is. You know, those are defining moments in my career, you know, and it's always special until you come across something else. You're like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, so it's hard to pick just one of the moments in my career that, you know, the 2016, when I made my debut at the Royal Rumble, was a pretty amazing moment. One that I'll never forget, because I was just hoping that people would remember who AJ Styles was, because I had wrestled in a different company for 11 years. It was a smaller company, but it was on TV. It was doing okay. But then I left there and went to Japan for almost 2 years. And I was like, Lord, please let somebody know who I am when I walk out this WWE curtain and when I'm walking down the aisle. Just let somebody know who I am and share a little bit. But man, it was awesome. Like, it seemed like everybody knew I was coming or something like that. It was great. It was probably, if I had to put moments, that was probably at the top of the list.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by moments, especially in the professional wrestling career, where you have to start humble and you have to go and just have these smaller matches and fight and be gritty. And like you said, in Japan, you know, you're just hoping to get that recognition for all the work you're putting in. Kind of on, maybe not a flip side, but what's the moment from your career that you look back and say, you know, I hadn't quite made it yet, but that was fun as hell.
Wow. That's a good one. You know, well, I got to tell you, I never really came, and still to this day, I'm like, yeah, not really the guy that everybody thinks I am. I just don't see myself in that kind of light. You know, like, you know, The Undertaker comparing me to like a modern day Shawn Michaels. Like, I'm sorry, man. I just don't see that. But like, it's hard for me to find those moments where I feel like a star. But there are those moments where you had that chip on your shoulder and somebody didn't believe in you, that they, you know, and you show them.
Totally.
Oh, man, what a moment. That's giving me cold chills just telling you guys this. It was one of those when I got in Japan and I became a bigger star in another country that, you know, made me, you know, it was that chip on my shoulder that got me there. Yeah. You know, it was everything that I'd learned up to then, and then put it into play and say, this is what you're missing. You should have, you know, kept me there, you know, but I went on to a bigger and better place. It's hard to express how it made me feel. Because like I said, it was in a different country. Like, how do you become a bigger star in pro wrestling in a different country? Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
2020 has been strange for everybody. You talked about the COVID couple LBs you put on during this time, and the quarantine pounds you put on during this time. But what's it like to be in the ring and no fans? I know that has to be different. I mean, what has that experience been like? Because everybody's had their everything's on Zoom, or, you know, I've been calling games from in my living room, in my office. Like, what's it been like to, you know, have these matches with no fans where you got to pretty much find your own juice and energy? What's that been like?
It sucks. It's terrible. Like, a lot of fans, they just don't realize how much they are involved in our match. Everything depends on how they react. Even when I'm cutting a promo or someone's doing a promo in the ring, it all depends on how they react.
Right.
You know, you can watch a match with the sound off and be like, eh, that's okay. And then you watch that same match with the sound on, and the fans are reacted. You're like, that was a great match. It was the same match. But it's the energy that everyone gets from, you know, a fan base that's there watching it. You know, they paid to see it. And so they're all about it. And they make the show. And we just try to give them what we think they need to make it great for everybody. So you get your money. When you spend your hard on money, you get your money's worth when you come to a WWE show. That's our job, you know, and they give us the energy, man. And without them, it's freaking, it's terrible. I need them there, man.
I hear you.
Well, they're with you in spirit, man. And I think a fascinating thing that you have going on too is your Twitch presence, and there's really nothing like it, man, that gives people that immediate availability to kind of get to know the people that they're keeping up with, whether it's, you know, you in professional wrestling or professional athletes. You're a gamer, man, and you're letting people get to know you through that. That has to be super fun for you. If you don't have fans present while you're wrestling, at least you still have that connection going on.
He's in a gamer chair right now. You can
see that. It's my Corsair chair. Hey, listen, I would love to tell you that it was great for as long as it lasted, but you know, there are some things that went on with third parties, and so we had to cut the Twitch out. So it is what it is, you know, and hopefully we'll be back, you know, doing something like that. It was great while it lasted, but the things that, you know, this was my streaming room, but I'm able to do that, you know, with you guys right now, you know, so there's a chance it could come back, but I am also thankful that I'm able to do this stuff with you guys.
Last thing I got for you, bro. You talk about where you want to take it and be the headliner, per se. Your expectations going forward, bro, what do you expect for your career going forward, and where ultimately would you like it to end up?
Well, I think we'd all like to end up retiring somewhat healthy. That's where I'd like it to end up. Where do I see it going? I mean, I'm not sure where it's going. I want to go where I'm needed. I think, you know, that's the thing, that as you're getting older, it's like, once you've been there, all right, man, I don't get me wrong, I want to be there. If I can be on top, I will be. But we got to make new stars too. And if I need to make another star, then that's my job. That's what I've been paid to do. I want to be able to do that. And if the opportunity presents itself and they want to put a championship on me, I'm cool with that too. I want to go where I'm needed. At this age, man, I'm just trying to make it through. I've never, knocking on wood here, I've never had a major surgery. So I'm trying to make it through that, you know, this career of mine without having one. And don't get me wrong, as soon as this career is over, they're going to be cutting me up. I'm sure of it. But a goal of mine, if you will,
they're just waiting for you to finish,
is to just make it through this without having a major surgery. Be able to do that would be a big accomplishment.
Awesome. All right. WWE superstar AJ Styles triple threat match on WWE Raw coming up. And look, we've already seen Chase Elliott from your neck of the woods up there Gainesville take home the cup. We'd love to see you put on the belt and bring some good energy to the dogs as well. Chase is a big dogs guy. You guys need to get Georgia motivated and get in that championship flow, man.
That sounds good to me. If Chase wants to hook up, you know, my dad was a huge Bill Elliott fan. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. That's all I ever heard. Right. So, we definitely need to hook up, man. We'll have to do it at a Georgia game.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Best of luck going forward. And we're knocking on wood for you, dude. We want you to stay healthy and stay on top of the sport.
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it my best try. So I'll get that. So many people, don't get hurt out there. All right, I'll try not to.
AJ, man, happy Thanksgiving, bro. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
You too, bro. You guys have a good one.
Y'all take care.